Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody today. It is the 4th of July. I'm going to record a quick mailbag, seeing as we didn't get to the mailbag this past Monday. I'm not going to be able to get all to all of the questions because some of them were from so far back because of the weird schedule this week. But I promise that in some way or another, over the course of the offseason, I will get to those questions either indirectly as part of what we would talk about naturally, or specifically with some guests that I think would find those questions interesting. So keep those questions coming. I'm going to answer a few of them here. I set something of a starting line at July 1 because obviously there was some big news between now and then. The conversation in June was quite different from the conversation that we had or that we're having right now. Right. So that's how I'm going to do. As always, you guys know where to find the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Shouts to Harrison for coming on the show the last 2 days. That really kind of helped me out of a bind. Hope you guys enjoyed those shows. I'm going to warn you guys because the sound was a little different when Harrison was in studio. That when I go out to Vegas, I'm leaving this Friday and I'll be there all of next week. But when I go to Vegas, the sound quality is going to be kind of variable because of the kind of situations that I'm going to be recording in. So just a heads up there. I promise I really do care about the way that this thing sounds. I want to make sure that my dulcet tones are really reaching you in the best way that they can possibly. But let's get to some of these questions. The first question is an interesting one, and I hadn't really thought about it to this point. It comes from J2DAT352. They ask if the Kobe farewell contract/tour helped with LeBron. See, there's no way to know this for sure, right? Like the unless LeBron comes out and says, I saw that and I respected the organization because they gave Kobe that, and I said, I want to be a part of that organization. If that happens, then I will take back everything that I ever said about the Kobe contract and what it did to the Lakers after he signed it, right? After they agreed to it. Until that happens, though, it's hard for me to really it's impossible for me to really to give a concrete answer on this. On one hand, you say, yeah, I think superstars around the league saw how Boston shipped out Paul Pierce. They shipped out Kevin Garnett. They treated Ray Allen like crap after he left. And they're saying, well, wait, like we kill ourselves for you guys physically so that we can win for you guys and fans demand loyalty of us, and then what happens, right? Like, just look at poor DeMarcus Cousins just recently. He went from potentially signing a deal in the excess of $200 million. And because he was traded, that deal was taken off the table. He blows his Achilles, and he is now being paid next season $5.5 million. There's a really good chance that he never gets back that money, right? So when I sit there and you know, laugh at fans who demand loyalty from players, it's not because I want to laugh at fans. It's because players aren't, you know, teams aren't always loyal to players. But in this case, the Lakers were loyal to Kobe. And maybe LeBron saw that, maybe other superstars saw that and said, you know what, that's a cool organization. I like the way that they did business there. I want to be a part of this moving forward. And if that's the case, kudos to the Lakers for that, because that's foresight that I wouldn't give most teams credit for, or just, you know, the cost of doing business the right way can sometimes be a positive thing. Let's get to the next question here. This is from U2 Scott. Other than Kawhi, fits best for the Lakers in the 2019 offseason in the event Kawhi does not sign with the Lakers next year? Thanks, guys. Laker fans since 1982. All right, so Kawhi is obviously, like, you go with the sure thing. And Kawhi, like Harrison said this on the podcast yesterday, and I completely agree with him, that Kawhi and LeBron are probably the two best fitting wings since Michael and Pippen, really, right? Because LeBron, you have the on-ball creativity. Both guys can shoot. Kawhi's a menace defensively. LeBron is just this physically imposing guy who can do everything. And so it's pretty easy to find a fit with him. So the preference here is obviously Kawhi. He makes the Lakers immediately a title contender, so long as they don't, you know, go out and sign Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo again. But if they can't get Kawhi for whatever reason, I think one guy who I really have my eye on is Klay Thompson. And it's for two reasons. One, shooting is going to be huge. It's always huge with LeBron. That's why I freaked out when the Lakers went out and got Rondo and Stephenson and McGee, right? Because those guys can't shoot. But with Klay Thompson, he's a really good shooter. He's maybe the best 3-and-D guy that the league has ever really seen, if you really think about it, right? He's an incredible shooter, and he plays really solid defense. And the other thing here, too, that you need to keep in mind here is your main competition is the Golden State Warriors. If you take Klay Thompson off the Warriors and then put him on the team that is the closest contender to the Warriors, now you have a legitimate conversation as to, oh, wow, who can win that series? So that's who I kind of have my mind on if Kawhi doesn't happen. And hell, why not both? let's see if we can figure out a way to do both. I'm going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to get to more of your questions. Sit right there. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Let's keep this thing going. So this next question, this is on July 2nd. So I believe this is right at the Julius Randle decision where they let him walk, right? This comes from Big Ricks. Randle does well against Draymond because he can bully the bully. But why do so many fans, including you, overinflate him? Why spend money on a one-trick pony? I hope witnessing the way Magic treats him shed some light on the masses and Randle on his actual value. Calling Randle a one-trick pony is delightful. Here's the thing. Julius Randle is capable of switching out onto the perimeter. He is capable of finishing in traffic, despite not having really developed a right hand yet. He is not a great rim protector. He's probably not even a good rim protector, but he's adequate there every so often, considering what else he does everywhere else on the court. He's a good facilitator. I like how physical he can be. I'm just saying this right now. Just wait for all of the holy crap, look how good Julius Randle is kind of tweets and articles and stuff like that next season when he's playing alongside Anthony Davis. Now you're going to say, well, who wouldn't look good alongside Anthony Davis? That's fair. That's fine. But Randle and Davis fit absolutely perfectly. Davis is a great rim protector. Davis can step out and hit three-pointers. Davis is a great roller on the pick and roll, right? Randle does everything else really well. And just watch. Just wait. I'm calling, you know, depending on things breaking the right way and how else this offseason goes, I'm willing to say that the Pelicans will be contending for a top four seed next season in the West. Like, that's a really good team. And Randle, I think, is going to play a really big part in that. And regarding the Magic thing, when you start using the way that front offices, or in this case, Magic Johnson, saw Julius Randle, you start to commit the appeal to authority fallacy. And I just don't think you want to do that here. Right, like Magic Johnson has held his position for 1 year, right? 1 year and some change, maybe 2 years now, and I just, you know, maybe he might be a really good talent evaluator. From everything that I've heard, that's not really what he does there. They have a scouting department that does that kind of thing, and look, it's like I said with Harrison a couple times now. Magic Johnson has made it a point, it seems like, to step in and get rid of anything that might tie back to Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss. All of the moves that they have made have been productive in some way, shape, or form. So at least he's been able to do that while he partakes in that kind of, in my opinion, borderline petty behavior. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the MO that he's kind of set here. And I was hoping it wouldn't cost to Julius Randle. I think it cost Julius Randle right at the beginning of the year when they kind of sort of made their decision that he wasn't going to be a part of the future of the Lakers organization and yanked around his minutes. And Randle, it sounds like, right from the offset of the offseason said, you know what, guys, I want to go somewhere where I feel wanted. And he took a deal in New Orleans that would have been great for the Lakers, and I think they missed out because they kind of made their decision. They made their minds up on a guy who does a lot of the things that you really need in the modern NBA. Let's get to the next question here. This comes from Nick Batchelor, a friend of the show, Nick Batchelor. Hey, Anthony, should the Lakers have picked up Seth Curry over Rajon Rondo since we need shooting, experience, and toughness or shooters? There must be a reason they picked Rondo over Seth Curry, but wondering why. Look, when Harrison asked me, when he and I had our back and forth about, you know, why I was freaking out about what the Lakers were doing there, Seth Curry was a guy I had in mind. And maybe the injury is concerning enough to the Lakers that they said they didn't want to take that gamble. We already saw that with DeMarcus Cousins, that they didn't want to take that gamble, reportedly. So maybe that's what they're thinking there. But in terms of fit, like, he's a great shooter. He has a great mind for the game and I think would fit really well with Lonzo. Then the one thing I'm a little concerned about here is that Lonzo and Rondo can't play really at the same time unless Lonzo starts shooting the ball better. And that wouldn't have been, like, they could have Seth Curry and Lonzo Ball could have played alongside each other because Seth can shoot the ball, and that gives you a little bit more flexibility. I also think that ex-players favor guys with championship pedigree, even if it means that they're getting guys after their primes or after that pedigree actually means anything. And this feels like one of those moves where Magic Johnson saw Rajon Rondo playing against the Lakers in those finals and hasn't been able to move past what he saw back then. And, you know, maybe Rondo flashes that often enough this year that it becomes a productive move. But in terms of actual basketball fit, I still really would have preferred Seth Curry. I'm going to take another quick second here, last quick break. I'm going to answer a couple more questions and then send everybody off into the rest of their days and send myself off into the 4th of July festivities. Sit tight. We'll be back in a second. All right, so this came on July 1st, this is from Rick West 76, and they're asking, or he's asking, how is LeBron going to mix with all of the young guys and their faster pace? I know LeBron likes to slow the ball down. How is this going to affect the overall pace of the game? This is a really interesting point here because Rajon Rondo likes to slow the ball down. In the playoffs, the game tends to slow down. So you know, I think it's good that the Lakers have guys who are comfortable playing in that kind of setting. In the regular season, though, like I like the idea of getting as many easy buckets as possible. And then in the playoffs, you can kind of lean on that every so often as well. And then as the game slows down, you have guys who are more comfortable doing that. I think what we're probably going to see here is some kind of, maybe they slow down a little bit, but with like the second unit, I could see that team stepping in and really bumping up the pace so that the pace, you know, the average in pace kind of offsets and you make that work too. The other thing is, like, LeBron has said he wants to be off of the ball more. And I'm a little dubious of that because it just seems like kind of a waste of what he does best, decision-making, facilitating, all of those things. And I just did like a Stephen A. Smith facilitating things of that nature, right? But anywho, I think what is interesting here, though, if he does want to move off the ball, is will he go out and fill the lane in transition? You have guys on the team like Lonzo Ball, like Brandon Ingram, and even to some extent Kyle Kuzma, who can kind of board and go. And if they do board and go, well, then LeBron filling the wing makes for one of the most frightening things in the NBA, right? So if Lonzo gets a rebound, especially a long rebound, and LeBron leaks out a little bit, well, that's just 2 points, right? At least, I would imagine on most cases, it's going to be 3 points. So I could see that kind of thing happening where LeBron just kind of leaks out and gets a couple easy baskets every so often. But yeah, I think one of the benefits of the additions that they've made regarding Rajon Rondo and LeBron James is that they are comfortable playing that kind of playoff basketball that features walking the ball up the court, having to run clean sets, having to execute on both sides of the ball, and trying to be efficient that way. So maybe there's some of that. I'm not going to say a nice thing about Lance Stephenson. Like that signing made zero sense. He's not a great dude. He is not a great fit. He's not very good defensively. People are saying, well, he might be a nuisance. Well, that's cool, but I'm not going to pay $4 million for somebody to annoy people when you could just open the door and let a couple flies onto the court. I think Wayne Ellington made a lot more sense there because of his shooting ability and character and all of those things. But I guess that's beyond the point now. All right, last question here before I let everybody go. Let's go to Isaac Snook. Since we got LeBron James, I still can't believe it. Could we actually use Deng at maybe power forward or something to make use of his big contract? Here's the thing. Maybe the Lakers just didn't want to use Deng last year because they wanted to see what the kids could do, right? And that's good process if that was their decision here. It's also possible that Luol Deng just isn't very good at basketball anymore. And, you know, when the rotation got down to, I think it was like 8 guys or 9 guys because of all the injuries the Lakers had last year, it would have made sense to maybe stick Deng in there for just a few minutes and hope to mitigate against some other injuries. But for the most part, I think the fact that the guy couldn't crack a rotation on a 35-win team and the Lakers never even really thought of showcasing him for any kind of trade, like that has to be kind of telling here. And look, if he is able to step in and help, then cool. It's nice to get a return on investment to a certain extent. But I think what they wind up doing here with Deng, especially if LeBron is as patient as he is reported to be, I think they kind of eat Deng's contract this year, go into next year or next offseason when that's an expiring deal, and that becomes more of an asset or less of a hindrance than it currently is, and you don't have to use quite as many assets to get rid of that deal. Maybe they include Deng in a Kawhi trade. I said yesterday that the only way I would give up Brandon Ingram right now is if they take on Luol Deng too. So that's kind of where I stand there. It's nice to hope that he can contribute, but I just don't see that really happening right now. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm recording this on July 4th, so have a great and safe July 4th out there, everybody. Make sure if your dogs are in the backyard or something, do a little extra to make sure that they can't, you know, dig out of the backyard or get out via some gate and freak out because of all the noise. If you are in a neighborhood that has dogs, please be, you know, somewhat, I guess, apathetic or sympathetic to those who do have dogs. And you know, I just really care about dogs. So think of the dogs on today when you guys are firing off your fireworks. Be safe out there. If you're going to do any kind of drinking or anything, hop in an Uber. Please do that kind of stuff. Everybody be safe. I'll catch you guys on the other side of this holiday. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you on Friday.